Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Northwestern Pennsylvania, but I currently live in Alabama. I've lived here for about 7 years. It's extremely hot here right now, so I've mostly been hibernating and preparing for my book release on August 8th and getting into the weeds on a new project.
I love this. And honestly, I now live in the South. I've been up north for most of my life. And so now living in the South, basically, I live in Florida. So it's basically reverse hibernation. Like, you know, you don't leave in the winter. You're kind of like, it's too cold, it's too this. And now it's like 100 degrees and it's humid. And I cannot just getting out of the house.
Yeah.
AC.
Yes. That's how I've been explaining it to more northern friends, that it's like summer is winter and you just kind of stay in.
Yeah, it's miserable.
Yeah.
So what is life like in Alabama? I'm always curious, like, is it slower pace of living in comparison up north, or, you know?
I mean, maybe a little. I've moved around a lot. So I moved here from Houston. So I've been kind of south-ish before this, and felt kind of used to at least certain parts of it, like the heat. But yeah, I live in Birmingham, which is kind of a buzzy, you know, fun, mid-sized city. There's a lot to do here. I really enjoy it. And I actually find it to be much more similar to where I grew up in rural Pennsylvania than people might think.
Interesting.
Yeah, there are actually a lot of parallels, especially like Birmingham is kind of nicknamed the Pittsburgh of the South. It has a similar kind of steel, you know, industrial past, even kind of visually similar architecture, hills. It was easier to adjust than I think most people would guess.
Yeah, I would imagine. I think it's like an adjustment period to, like, you know, there's a different pace of living, there's different values, different ways of looking at things, there's a different weather.
Yeah.
But it's like, it takes an adjustment, but it's kind of like, it needs to see, like, there's parallels from where you grew up to, like, to a place where you are now.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Awesome. So let's start with your writing. So talk to us about How to Care for a Human Girl. What is the elevator pitch?
Yeah, so it is literary fiction about two sisters who both have simultaneous unplanned pregnancies. They've been estranged for a while, and so this experience kind of brings them back together again. We learn a little bit about their past and their family and kind of what went wrong between them. And we're also learning about their decision-making processes and the way that they both make their decisions and then sort of live with the consequences and incorporate them into their lives. It's sort of an exploration of choice, reproductive choice, and other types of choice as well. One of the characters is a social psychologist. And so there's some psychological research actually built into the book about how our minds work when we make a choice, and, you know, how we become overwhelmed when we feel like we have many choices. And also there's a bit about the psychology of intimate relationships. And so that's a little bit of like clinical material that gets wrapped into the book by virtue of its being researched by one of our main characters.
So what was the process of writing this book? Like, thinking about the research, the rabbit holes, like, how do you put this story together?
Yeah, there were a lot of rabbit holes. I really enjoy doing research for fiction and using research in fiction. It helps me get outside of myself and learn about experiences that are not my own. So I spent a lot of time researching social psychology, reading studies, talking to some friends who work in the field to learn a bit about where my character Jada would be coming from and how she would see the world. She's a very analytical person, and so it made sense to me that as she experienced things like, trouble in her marriage or this unintended pregnancy, like that she would turn to psychology and research to try to make sense of those experiences.
Yeah.
So I, got to take kind of a deep dive into the psychology of choice and decision making. My other main character, Maddie, who's the younger of the two sisters, volunteers at a wildlife rehabilitation center. So I also completed volunteer training at a local wildlife rehabilitation center and got to meet some of their birds and raptors and owls and learn about the experiences that Maddie would have there as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. For me, always very enriching and enjoyable to actually learn the things that my characters would know and do the things that they would do and push myself outside my comfort zone as a person as well as a writer.
I love this. I love the idea that writing sometimes pushes us outside of our comfort zone and it makes us take risks. You know, things that we're like, oh, I could never do this. And then we're like, oh, maybe my character would do this. Let me give myself into the brain of my character and maybe give it a try.
And it's fun to get into that space where you're writing something like maybe your character's misbehaving, maybe they're being like not a great person, and you might start from a place of thinking like, how am I going to write this? This doesn't feel like something I would do. But then as you write it, you start to realize, well, I like, who am I to even say what I would or wouldn't do, because I've never been in this situation, so who knows? And if I can feel, you know, what my character is feeling in that moment, then suddenly really anything seems possible.
Yeah. And then like, honestly, you can look at circumstances, you can look at ideas, you can look at, you know, what if and hypotheticals. And it's like, you can take like different twists and turns, and maybe you're on a crossroads and like you make a choice, but maybe your character takes the other choice and like it's sliding doors and just, you know, domino effect and changes everything, you know?
So, yeah. Right. And I think that's a large part of what the book is about too, is this experience of, you know, when you make a choice, you've made a commitment, but that doesn't mean that psychologically you're not going to still say to yourself, well, what if I had done this other thing? Or what would my life be like if I was still with this other person? Or, yeah, you know, how would I be happier? Would things be better? Like, that counterfactual thinking process is so human. And I think so very relatable, that it was something that I wanted to kind of throw at my characters as they make these very high stakes decisions and kind of surprise themselves. You know, they're definitely also wondering like, should I have done this other thing? Or what if I had done this other thing, in a way that I think is, you know, to me makes them seem very vulnerable and real and human.
I love this. All right, let's talk about your writing journey. What was it like for you? When did you start writing? Were you writing stories when you were growing up? And you just kind of like, it's always been on the back of your head and like, you know, let's give this a try? Or was it something, was it part of your reading life that led you to start writing?
Yeah, I was definitely an early writer and reader. When I was really young, I was most interested actually in like science books, mostly books about animals and dinosaurs. And my father was a forester in rural PA. And so he would tell me stories and they always featured animal protagonists. So like, I would get bedtime stories about Jake the turkey and his adventures. Storytelling and reading were a big part of my life. And I can remember like cutting up my mom's clothing catalogs and cutting out the models and pasting them into little books where I would make up stories about them. And those stories actually, even when I was very young, were always interested in women's relationships. You know, this is this girl, Sally, and her friend, like Sarah, and they're in a fight because, you know, whatever. It was always very friendship focused, you know, sisters, women relating to each other in interesting and sometimes difficult ways. It's always been an interest of mine.
Oh my gosh, I love this. All right, so let's talk about reading life. What kind of books do you tend to read?
Well, I love literary fiction about complicated women. So I'm a big believer that characters don't need to be what people would call likable. Yeah. I actually struggle a lot with that term. I don't really know what it means. Mm-hmm. I think that characters should be sticky and a little bit weird, a little bit messy. To me, that's what's really interesting. So I read about a lot of those types of characters.
And do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yeah, so a few books that I was reading as I was working on this book, since it's very much about women's ambivalence about pregnancy and motherhood. A couple of books that I read that helped me get into that headspace and think about those ideas. One is my friend Kristen Iskandrian's novel Motherist. Mm-hmm. Which is about a young woman named Agnes who's preparing to become a single mother while writing letters to her own absent mother. And she's just a really intelligent and sort of strange in a good way, like lovable narrator and letter writer who I really enjoyed spending time with on the page. I kind of missed her when the book was over, which to me is one of the marks of a really well-written book and a really dynamic character. Another one that helped me write this book was called Pizza Girl by Jean Kyung Fraser. I'm not sure if I pronounced the middle name correctly, so apologies if I didn't. But it's about an 18-year-old pizza delivery girl who's pregnant, and she's just a mess, but again, in a way that is just really lovable and vulnerable. And we see her develop this obsession with an older woman named Jenny. And it's sort of a way of distracting herself from her fears about her pregnancy and the affection of her mother and her boyfriend, which she experiences as really suffocating. And she's just a wonderful character who you're like worried for, but also, you know, in love with at the same time. I saw a lot of parallels between her and my character, Maddie, who's the younger of the two sisters in my book, who's similarly like adrift and pregnant and confused and has an inappropriate crush and is also mourning the death of a parent, which is another thing that Pizza Girl and Motherist both include that's also a factor in my novel. And then, yeah, I recommend The Lost Daughter by Elena Ferrante. It was just recently adapted to film by Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's on Netflix and the movie's wonderful as well. But it's just a really slim, short, surprising, blunt novel about a woman, a middle-aged woman. She's divorced. She identifies herself as an unnatural mother. She becomes fascinated by this younger mother that she meets at the beach. And we learn about her past, her family history, her experience of motherhood, her daughters. It's another one that features what a lot of people would consider to be an unlikable character. But one of the things that I love about all of Elena Ferrante's work is that she really explodes these categories of likable and unlikable, and doesn't focus on whether her character's actions are right or wrong, but is, you know, concerned first and foremost with just honoring their complexity.
I love this relation of like, you know, mothers and like a little character, like just kind of like a little bit of like a complex characters that we dive into their world and just kind of like just enjoy that whole journey with it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Love this recommendation. So Ashley, tell us where you can find you online.
On Instagram, I'm at Dr. Bocker. So Dr. spelled out with a B-A-C-H-E-R at the end. I'm sort of on Twitter, but I'm sort of moving away from that, but I'm at A-L Wurzbacher. Yeah, that's me.
Thank you, Ashley, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.